How about this one? This is good. Haggai 2:8. God says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord. You know, tell that to Bezos or Bezos or Gates or Eli Musco, whatever his name is. They don't own it. They think they own it, but they don't.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome to Love Never Fails. Today, Pastor Bill continues our journey into one of the most remarkable books of the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. Today, Pastor focuses on chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. These verses present a breathtaking picture of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished. Now, Pastor Bill, with part 1 of the message, who is Jesus?
Amen. If you weren't here with us last time, or maybe you're tuning in live and you are just now with us, and you weren't here for last Sunday's service, I really encourage you to go online and listen to it, the introduction to Hebrews, because there's so much there, and that way you have a proper footing and foundation for these 13 chapters we're going to cover. Remember that this book, if you will, which is called, or some people call it, scholars call it, the Leviticus of the New Testament. And it really is, because you'll never understand Hebrews totally unless you understand Leviticus. And so I encourage you to be reading that. Remember that there was a danger going on with the Hebrews. It's addressed to Hebrew believers. And there was some danger in either them returning to Judaism or some form of Judaism, or perhaps trying to bring Judaism into grace. We're not sure. But we know in Hebrews 5:12, it tells us that these believers, the Jewish believers, they were not progressing, they were regressing, because the writer of Hebrews, who I believe to be Paul, and whoever it was, it doesn't matter, he says, listen, you should be teachers by now. But you can't handle solid food anymore. You have to go back and be on a milk diet. Boy, we need to keep growing, amen? And so with all that being said, the writer of Hebrews, he writes this, and he gives us the reason at the very end of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 22 or 23, right in that area. He says, receive this letter, if you will, this letter of exhortation. The word exhortation, we get the Greek word there, parakletos, where it means to come alongside of and encourage, or to strengthen and help. So this book was written, if you will, to encourage the Hebrew believers and every generation. Amen? It wasn't written to scare them to death with these five warnings that people have read, believers have read, and think, oh, I can lose my salvation, but I can't go into that now because I covered it all in depth last Sunday. But the thing that this is about, this book, it's about us running the race. Amen? It's about us finishing, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. And Hebrews is a revolutionary book. Boy, because everything revolves around Jesus. Matter of fact, that's the title of my sermon this morning. Who is Jesus? Say that with me. Who is Jesus? Well, the theme of Hebrews is, we already know what that is. 13 times it says that Jesus is better. Amen? And the word better there used in the Greek means he is superior. He's superior, we're going to learn soon, next Sunday, the Lord willing. He's superior to angels. He's superior to Aaron. He's superior to Moses, to the Levitical priesthood. He is better than anyone and anything because, well, he's Jesus. Amen? Man, Hebrews is about a better covenant based on better promises, a better mediator, which is our Lord, our high priest, and so forth. So I pray that you seize our studies and act upon them. Now listen, we are about to enter into what I consider holy ground. And I don't care, like I said in the early service, Pastor Chuck or anybody, but I'll just use Chuck. He's a great teacher of God's word. Amen. He's in heaven right now. If he should appear, he would be very upset, I can promise you. But if he could stand right here, he would tell you this. No man on earth can teach these verses perfectly because they're beyond anything we can even comprehend. He is infinite and we are finite in the sense of our being right now. Man, and I look at these verses and I have to just, Lord, I humble myself. I don't know. Lord, that's why I prayed. Lord, you make your word powerful. I don't have to make it powerful. Amen. So with all that being said, let's begin quickly. Verse 1, and let's get into our study this morning on who Jesus is. It says, God, who at various times or in many different parts, if you will, various ways, he spoke in times past to the prophets. Well, he did that. How did he do it? Well, angels and visions and so forth, the burning bush, and we learned that last time we were together. And it says, in these last days, God has spoken unto us, the author, of course, who's writing it, the Jews of that day, and to every generation. He has spoken to us by his Son, whom he, meaning God, has appointed heir, or has appointed Jesus, heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So we left off last time with that Jesus, our Lord, man, he is the last word. He is the final word to mankind. Amen. And he's better than the prophets. Jesus is better than everything. Matter of fact, Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. Amen. Meaning high priest. Now, so the emphasis of our text is very important. God is going to do something through the writer. He's going to give us seven things or seven facts, or we can call them affirmations of who Jesus is. Who is Jesus, the Son of God? When you think of Jesus, who is he to you? Well, he's my Savior. Of course he is. But I want you to look at this text and boy, this is so deep. This is so good. Who is Jesus? Look at the very first thing of the seven. It says he is what? Heir. That means lawful owner. He is heir of how many things? Is all things a big word? You can talk to me. No, he's heir of all things. What does that mean? It means that Jesus, the Son of God, he owns it all. He owns absolutely everything. How did this happen? The Son of God left heaven and became the Son of Man. Amen? Yes. Now listen, heirship always goes with sonship. So here, I mean, he owns everything. Now listen, let's just think about that for a moment. The air that you're breathing, is it your air? Did you create it? No. We can't really create anything except confusion, you know? No, listen, it's on loan. That air is not yours, it's his. Matter of fact, your body belongs to him. Why? He created you. Do you understand? Your mind, everything, your home. Well, I'm paying for it. Oh, yeah, but he's going to hit, I know. Your future. He owns your future. He owns your eternal future. Do you understand? Jesus owns absolutely everything. Man doesn't really own a thing. You remember the promise in the Messianic Psalm in Psalm 2 that God, what he promised unto Jesus. Let me read it to you in Psalm 2:8. God the Father says, ask of me and I will give you, meaning Jesus, the nations for your inheritance. And listen to this. And the ends of the earth for your possession. No earthly king has ever received a promise like that, but Jesus the Messiah. Amen. Now listen, how about the earth? The psalm says in Psalm 24:1, it says the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness and the world and those who dwell therein. Does Jesus own everything? Yes, he does. Putin thinks he owns everything, okay? And you know, he's Putin around up there and on the Ukraine and you know, he's just a bunch of hot wind. You know what I'm trying to say? No, he doesn't own a thing. How about this verse? Psalm 50 verse 10, God says, every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle on a thousand hills. The cattle on a thousand hills. Have you ever been out to the 66666 Antichrist Ranch? No. The 666, ever heard about that, right? Do they have a lot of cattle? Hello. But guess what? They think they own them. But no, God says, no, I created them. I own them because I own all things. Amen. How about this one? This is good. Haggai 2:8. God says, the silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord. You know, tell that to Bezos or Bezos or Gates or Eli Musco, whatever his name is. They don't own it. They think they own it, but they don't. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Well, let me just say, did you bring anything into this world? No. How did you come into this world? Did you come in a suit and $1,000 in your pocket? No. The Bible tells us, remember what Paul said? You brought nothing into this world. And it is certain that you're not going to carry anything out of it. Amen? Yeah, see, Jesus owns it all. That's why Paul the Apostle, writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3:21, he says this, don't look at men. And he says, don't worry at what they have. He says this, for all things are yours. Why are all things ours? Because all things belong to Jesus, amen? And we are co-heirs with Christ, amen? Now, okay, if Jesus, and he is the heir of all things, the reason is because he made all things. Look at it there in verse 2. Whom also, or through whom also, he, meaning Jesus, made or literally created the what? The worlds. You notice that it says the worlds plural, okay? Now, that's not the cosmos, okay? The universe and everything in the sense here. This word worlds tells us who Jesus is. The word is ion in the Greek. He created the ions, or he created all of the ages, if you will. Space and time and matter and energy, the universe, everything there is in time, the past, the present, the future, every minute, every second, every hour of every day. Listen, Jesus did it all. He created what we live in. He created all the epochs of the ages. And now, with all that being said, that tells us something. Jesus is in control. Amen? See, history is his story, isn't it? Yes. So Jesus created all of the ages from the beginning of time all the way till it ends. And he created everything that is here. He created for a purpose, or he gave a purpose for it. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season. A season is a fixed portion of time. To everything there is a season. And a time, that's when it starts, a time period, a time for every purpose under heaven. Listen, Jesus, everything he does, he has an exact purpose. He has an exact season. He has an exact time for everything that happens during the epochs of the ages. Nothing escapes him because he's the one who created everything. You know, a lot of people tell me, you know, just like, you know, I should have been born, you know, back in the days of the outlaws, or, you know, I should have been at OK Corral, or, you know, I should have been a cowboy. And, you know, well, you, no, you, if you, listen, if you were supposed to have been that, you would have been born back then. You were born at the exact perfect time in history. You have a purpose for the generation you're living in. You don't have a purpose to be Marshall Dillon. No, do you understand? You know, listen, I was born at the exact right time I was supposed to have been born. You know, I was part of the hippie generation. Now, you guys today that are young, you couldn't do it. You couldn't be the flower child. Because you just don't have it in you, okay? You know what I mean? You don't do it. But see, my generation, we could, because that's what we did. It was for an exact time. Now, it was exactly wrong, you know, make love and not war. I mean, it was a bad time. But are you following me?
Yes.
Good. Thank God. All right. Jesus created all things. It says in John 1:3, all things were made through him. And listen now, and without him, nothing was made that was made. All things. Is that a big word? That is a huge word. Not one single thing that exists came into being except through the will and the wisdom of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now listen to me. Nothing exists independently of him. Do you understand that? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Jesus created everything. All the laws that hold everything together and keep us on this planet, all the laws, the gravity and motion, all the things, Jesus created them all, and they all reside in him because he is the one who created it. Man, and I think, oh Lord, how did Jesus do this? Are you ready for this? How did he do all of it? He just opened his mouth and he spoke. Are you ready for this? Hebrews 11:3. It says, by faith we understand, church, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Jesus spoke. Now listen, so that the things which are seen, the mountains, the birds, the stars, the sun, the moon, everything that you see, The things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Are we on planet Earth? Yes. We live on a planet that was spoken into existence. I don't know how that makes you feel. That's who Jesus is. Jesus just simply spoke it into existence. He called into existence which had absolutely no prior existence. There was nothing until God spoke. And you know what? There is not one scientist, there is not one person on this earth that can tell you how to make something out of nothing. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalm 33:9, it says, He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I mean, when I think about that, loved one, listen to me. He just spoke, light be, and it appeared from nothing. He spoke a word, just a word, stars. Do you understand the power? I mean, does that boggle your mind? Just a word. A word. He spoke a word and it appeared. That's who Jesus is. That's who our Lord is. Why? Well, He's God. Look what it says in verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Who is Jesus? Number 3 here. Who is Jesus? He is the radiance, the brightness, if you will, of God's glory. He's not a reflection, man. He is perfect glory, the true manifestation of God's glory. This is the incarnation we're talking about in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh, dwelled among us. We beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18, listen to this one. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Declared Him. That word means He brought God the Father, who God is, out in the open. Because God wanted to know. He wanted us to know who He is. So we can know Him. Man, it says He is the brightness of His glory. If you were up early this morning, early enough, and probably the second service you weren't. But man, listen, the sun was up a little bit. And it was so bright as it was coming up, you could not look at it. If you are crazy, you know, it's like, oh, let me go blind myself, right? I mean, can you think of the brightness there? Jesus is the glory, the radiance of God, because He is God. Man, you know, the Jews in the wilderness, they experienced the visible or the Shekinah glory of God. There was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Amen. They were the only nation on earth that had that privilege. Can you imagine seeing that? You know, is Jesus the light of the world? Is Jesus the eternal light? Yes. One day, when you know what we're going to see when we get to heaven? Is there going to be, oh, look at the sun over there. Are you going to see a sun in heaven?
No.
No. How about that moon? Oh, look at the beautiful. No. Where are we going to get our light from?
Jesus.
It says the Lamb is its light. Jesus is the radiance of God the Father. And not only that, look at this now. Number 4, who is Jesus? He is the express image. That word is only found here in the New Testament. The express image, meaning the character, if you will. The express image of His person, of God's person, meaning His nature. Jesus said in John 10:10, the Father and I, we are one. In Colossians 2:9, Paul says that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So Jesus, when it says here, He is the exact image, it means He is the perfect imprint, the exact representation, the full embodiment of God as God really is, because Jesus is God. And I go, oh Lord, You are incredible. So when we think about all the things, this express image of God, remember what Paul the Apostle said in Colossians 1:15? He says that Jesus is, didn't say He was going to be, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God. Who is Christ? Who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is the visible expression, amen, of the invisible God. What did Jesus tell Philip in John 14:9? He said, Philip, if you've seen Me, you have seen the Father. Now, these words that we're studying these scriptures. I hear people say bad things about Jesus, or that he is this, or he's a son of Lucifer, his brother, all these cults and all the rest of it. For any person, any generation, any seminary, any person to say anything less about Jesus, what we just read, is blasphemy. And it's evidence of a blinded mind by the devil. Do you understand? Jesus is the image, the self-image. He is God in the flesh. He's the God-man. And look what he does. Upholding, verse 3, upholding all things, not some things, upholding all things. But look how he does it. By the word of his power. So number 5, who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is the one who holds all things together. Carries everything along. The word upholding literally means to maintain something or to carry something along. So listen now, everything that there is, all things maintain their consistency in one person. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is carrying all things to an appointed end. Do you understand? He's bringing a conclusion one day to everything that he's created. Why? He rules and governs the world, the universe, everything that there is. That's who he is. The Bible says in Colossians 1:16, all things, that's a big word, isn't it? All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. That means that all things began with him and all things are going to end with him. It means that everything that there is maintains their consistency in him. Why? Because everything depends on him. Everything. Level one. Everything. Everything right now. Everything you see. The air that you breathe. The world. The universe. The stars. Everything. Maintain their consistency in Christ. Boy, that's who he is. Everything serves him, whether you think you are or not. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And I say, oh, Lord, listen, everything that we see began with a command, his command, everything, and everything will end at his command. Jesus is Lord. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. And not only that, when it says he is the end, that means that Jesus Christ is the goal of history, the goal of mankind, the goal. He is the end of all things. Let me give you the scripture, Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that means when the completion of history comes, as we know it, that he might gather together, meaning God, might gather together in one. Now listen carefully, all things, there's that big word again, all things in Christ, everything in creation, if you will, both which are in heaven and that which is on the earth in him. Colossians 1:16 again, for by him, meaning only Jesus, by him, all things, there's that big word again, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible, things that we can see, invisible, those that we can't see, whether there's thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. What are all those words? What do they mean? They mean angels, fallen angels, cherubim, seraphim, whatever God has created. It says, and Jesus, he is before all things. He has the preeminence. He has always been. It says he's before all things. Now listen, and in him, all things, not some things, in Jesus, our Lord. You want to know who he is? In him, all things consist, meaning Jesus holds everything together. Scientific theories do not hold all things together, loved one. Listen, all things, everything that there is right this very moment are being held together by one person, and it is Jesus Christ our Lord. All things, everything. He is the personal sustainer of everything that there is.
As we close today's study, let's reflect on the incredible truth found in Hebrews 1, that while God spoke in various ways in the past, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. We'll return tomorrow with the remainder of today's message. And until then, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.